हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 75. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Indra had now heard of and seen the transcendental power of omnipotent Krishna, and his false pride in being the Lord of the three worlds was thus defeated. Holding his hands together in supplication, he addressed the Lord as follows. Srila Sanatan Goswami elaborates, Indra experienced Krishna, who had unlimited powers. By seeing the Supreme Brahman in human form as Krishna, the young cowherd,
Maharaj,
you've
completed everything on the last
line.
Brahma Samhita says.
Yeah, last
line
of the
page. Okay. Brahma Samhita says, Maya hi yasya jagaranda satani sute traigunya tad vishayaveda vitayamana sattvavalambi parasattvam vishudhasattvam govindamari purusham tamahang bhajami. Yeah, no, it's just that, how you say, everything about Krishna is always fresh, so when you read it again, it's always new, but, you know, otherwise we'd be here all day, right, on one verse, right, so, okay. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, whose material energy, Maya, consisting of the three gunas described elaborately in the Vedas, produces hundreds of universes, while he himself is pure sattva, Vishuddha sattva existence, which is the cause of the material sattva, which manifests his blissful form. Brahma Samhita 4. Right, so his transcendental form is manifest by his internal potency. And then from that, the shadow of that's the external potency. And then a very, very minute portion of that is what Indra is in control of. But Krishna is in control of, you know, all his energies. So then, that's then why I said he then saw the omnipotent Lord, how Krishna was able to take care of all these things. You have a form, Dhamma, a Vishuddha Sattva, or you have a Vishuddha Sattva form, which is self-manifesting. Since Vishuddha means without material parts, and Sattva means manifestation. You are without agitation, satam. Your form is full of knowledge, tapo mayam. Right, so sattva means manifestation. That means that's what makes things happen. So things in the mode of goodness, that's how things happen. And things in the mode of pure goodness, then that makes spiritual things happen. Right. So the point is without goodness, there is actually no real manifestation. Everything falls apart. Because ignorance means it's destroyed. Passion means you're making the endeavor for it, but will give just a temporary result. Deep knowledge is the cause of peace, shantam. Your form is devoid of rajas and tamas, devoid of vikshepa and avarana. Shruti says, Ayam atma, atma pahata pa-ma. The Lord is devoid of all sin, Chandogya Upanishad. Material sattva is excluded. In you are the shelter of all material spiritual qualities. In you, who are the shelter of all spiritual qualities, exist the energies of Hladini, Sandini, and Samvit. In you, who are devoid of material qualities, the mixture of happiness and distress found in the material world does not exist. Vishnu Purana 1.9.45. The flow of your qualities like mercy, realized directly by me, is not made of material maya, since the qualities are accepted by you, or are without limitation of material senses. So he's appreciating the position of Krishna, that he thought he was the supreme and controlling everything, And because he's using the potencies and powers that are afforded to someone in the post of Indra. And now he's reminded where those potencies come from and why they work. So they come from Krishna. King Indra continued, "How then could there exist in you the symptoms of an ignorant person, such as greed, lust, anger, and envy, which are produced by one's previous involvement in material existence, and which cause one to become further entangled in material existence? And yet, as the Supreme Lord, you impose punishment to protect religious principles and curb down the wicked." Right? Because the wicked means they're committed to greed, lust, anger, and envy. And the religious principles are to control those. Right? So that's the whole idea, is we're trying to control those things. And so the religious principles regulate them. That's what it's for. But the only purpose to regulate them is to be engaged in Krishna service. Otherwise, if just by regulating we feel that's the success, that's the goal, then we've missed the point. Right? That's not the actual point. One has to understand what the actual points are, so that the acharyas then establish. They make those points. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, "This is expressed in Kai Mukti, Kanyaya. Indra says, if your qualities are not Maya, then what fault is there if you are the cause of Maya? The cause is you, O controller of Maya, Isha." Krishna responds, "But in the pile of food, which indicates greed, and intolerance of your pride, which indicates anger, you understand that I have material qualities. Why do you now try to conceal these faults?" Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Here the... Yeah, intolerance of your pride. So someone's proud, so they're intolerant. So what does that mean? If someone, they're intolerant, that means they're not forgiving. That means then there's anger. Because someone who's intolerant is angry. Or if you see someone's an angry person all the time, it's because they're intolerant. They can't forgive. They can't let anything go. Indra replies, "Qualities like greed for food, which has been given by devotees, qualities which show the greatness of devotees and bhakti, buddhi linga bhavaha, are produced by you. They are not made by Maya, but by your mercy alone. Destroying the wicked in order to protect the devotees is mercy for. Because of that punishment, the wicked begin to follow dharma and then become happy. That also is only mercy." So by chastisement, then one starts to do things properly, and then doing things properly, one actually becomes happy. So that's the Lord's mercy. Because if one doesn't do, then it's not, how you say, yeah, one can't be happy outside of practicing religion. Right? One may be getting effect from previous practice of religion, so that's why there's some facility. But if one doesn't practice now, that will be lost. Right? One can't be happy. But unless it's engaged in Krishna's service, then the soul actually won't be happy. Your situation you're in may be nice, but unless Krishna is involved, you can't be happy.
Krishna says that the pile of food indicates greed, but it is not necessary. No?
Which?
Krishna,
but in the pile of food.
Yeah. Indicates greed, so it is not necessary because...
It's not necessary. What's not necessary?
Pile of food to indicate greed. How does that go? Because...
No, but why are you first... Why not just saying how? How is greed indicated by the pile of food, rather than say it's not necessary? Don't come to a conclusion first, then ask your question. Means ask your question so that you can understand what has been stated. Like we were saying this morning, is that we may have one idea how things work, and then the acharyas will give a further definition, which is beyond our understanding. So then immediately we'll just say is something wrong there, because our understanding is always the pinnacle of perfection. Right? You understand? So what was... If they took the ingredients for the Indra Yajna, what did they make with it?
Bhoga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, Indra's angry about the pile of food. Why the pile of food's not for him? Why it's for this kid? Okay? Yeah, so that's why one has to first see what's there. So it indicates greed because he wants it. Right? Like that. And as we said, intolerance of your pride, then which indicates anger. Okay? So then Indra is trying to, you know, because Krishna, we see that he always will take, because he has there is no loss on his part. He's always in perfection. So therefore he can play this way. Oh, but you're saying this about me, but before you were saying that. So, how has that changed? You know, so it just brings out, then the devotee has to work a little harder to explain it. Right? Especially when he's done something that's incorrect. So then, you know, to the degree of the incorrectness, then generally there's a little bit more work has to be done. King Indra continued, "You are the father and spiritual master of this entire universe, and also its supreme controller. You are insurmountable time, imposing punishment upon the sinful for their own benefit." Right? So you see there's a theme here of being corrected and then being established in proper activity. Because that's what happened with Indra. Okay. Indeed, in your various incarnations, selected by your own free will, you act decisively to remove the false pride of those who presume themselves masters of this world. Right? So, selected by your own free will, because Indra thought he was the one that was free, and he was going to control Krishna and the Brajavasis. Then he found out that that's not actually the way it's going to work. Because Krishna is the actual one who is free, and Indra is the one that's bound to his duties and his position. With that, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "As you are the complete Lord, what purpose do you have in protecting Dharma and punishing evil? It is for the auspiciousness of the universe," right? Because he doesn't have to do that. He's complete in himself. So there's no need. But because it's auspicious for the universe. Because if Dharma is prominent and sin or evil is reduced, then things will be more favorable that people could therefore become God conscious. Not necessarily that they will be, but it's a better situation. Right? You know, in other words, like, we don't have any business building temples. We have business being Krishna conscious, right? But by building a temple or arranging a temple, that means it's a suitable environment in which people can come, and knowing it's a temple, then they will try to sit, chant, you know, take part, take prasad, do all that. Does that make sense? You know, but if you change it and make it into a disco or something, then strange, they don't feel like sitting down and chanting japa, right? You know, I doubt that you have many people at a disco sitting there absorbed in their rounds and, you know, I don't think Burijan Prabhu recommends that as one of the techniques of better chanting, right? Yeah. So that's why then it's there, because we're not interested in making temples. A lot of people are, because of the prestige, or they get, tax benefit, or then, you know, they can get a livelihood from it. You know, so many reasons that people build them, but that's what Rupa Goswami in the 64 Items of Devotional Service makes the point, is we don't build temples. That's not our point. We create environments in which people can be Krishna conscious. That's what the temple's for. So if we're only focusing on other things other than what benefit people will get in Krishna consciousness, then we miss the whole point of the temple. Right? So that's, in other words, we don't do things that are Krishna conscious. We always try for that. Because of your natural mercy, you have affection for those who follow Dharma, like the father towards the son and the guru towards the soul of his disciple. So, because it's natural, someone who's following Dharma, naturally then they're going to get it's because they're following the rules, it's natural that you'll reciprocate with that. They have that faith, they follow, so you reciprocate. People don't follow, what do you reciprocate with? Right? You break the rule, so you reciprocate with chastisement. You follow the rule, then you reciprocate with mercy. So that's just how Krishna naturally does it. That's his natural inclination. So that's why it goes on. Because if it was up to people here, it wouldn't exactly work like that. You know? Okay. As Adisha, you are capable of delivering all from suffering and bestowing happiness. But to the evil people, you are insurmountable time, which purifies them through punishment. Therefore, to give benefit towards both types of people, you perform pastimes through your avatar forms that you accept by your independent will. Ichanu bihi. These are the pastimes of killing the demons, such as Putana, and protecting the righteous. As well, it is your pastime to deflate the pride of your devotees, such as Brahma, who became intoxicated with the small power that you gave them. You know, such as Brahma. So if you count Brahma and the small power, then Indra's power is nothing compared to him. Right? Because Brahma has to recreate the whole scene 14 times a day so that Indra can do his thing. Right? So if you already count Brahma as small, then that means Indra is even more small. You know? King Indra continued. Even fools like me, who proudly think themselves universal lords, quickly give up their conceit and directly take to the path of the spiritual progressive when they see you are fearless even in the face of time. Thus, you punish the miscreants only to instruct them. Because Krishna is not controlled by time, so it's not that he needs to do something, otherwise it's not going to work out. No, by his dealing with it as time and punishing, then it becomes auspicious for everyone. Right? So they get instructed. Sometimes people are a little bit slow at receiving instruction, but still it goes on. Right? The class goes on even if the person's not learning. You keep at it, and then, you know, they might have to be held back a grade or two until they finally catch it. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, among those who think themselves the Lord, I am the lowest. With this mood, Indra speaks. Madvidha Agya indicates that he is the most foolish of the foolish. Seeing that you are fearless at the time of fear, during the time of severe rain, I give up my false identity as controller. Right? So the situation that Indra created was fear. Right? Because fear means people are insecure. And then in that case, then you can be in control. So if others are insecure, you can be in control. That's the whole idea. So Indra, then by creating this very, very terrible situation, then he expected that everybody would be fearful, and this way then he would control them, then they would surrender and behave towards him how he feels they should. But in the fearless at the time of fear, Krishna wasn't fearful at all. He just told everyone to be calm. He was compassionate. Then he picked up the mountain and invited everybody in. So it wasn't that he was freaking out and he had to do this and that and, you know, somebody says, yeah, so it's just... So he had to give up his false identity as controller because he couldn't control Krishna. And he couldn't actually even control the Braj bosses. Right? Because they took shelter of Krishna. So he can't even do anything to them. Right. And he's not going to do anything to Kamsa because he's definitely not in control there. So, giving up pride, we follow Prabhajanti, the path of your devotees, Arya Marga, without pride, Apasmaya. Ah. So that was the problem. They only caught the word Arya, but didn't catch the word Marga. That they're supposed to follow the Aryans, not that they are Aryans. Okay. Without pride, Apasmaya. And they missed that one also. Therefore, this time, pastime of lifting Govardhan is your punishment for me. Anu Shasanam.
Yeah. We say that this pastime of Govardhan actually was for the bridge passes, and Indra was the sidekick.
Yes. But from his point is that he's just saying from his angle, then Therefore, this pastime is your punishment for me, but it doesn't mean that was the purpose of it. It just, it did that on the side. You know what I'm saying? You cooked the potato, and in the process, you also have a pile of peels on the counter. So you're not trying to get a pile of peels on the counter. You're trying to get the potato cooked. So, you know, it's just India's pride gets taken care of also. But because he's a devotee, therefore then it's taken care of along with it. But in here, then it's trying to bring around the right mentality, while the Brajbasis already have that perfect mentality. So naturally, they're going to have the prominence in the pastime. But as a side thing, then Indra gets corrected. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "My dear Lord, you are the original father of this cosmic manifestation. You are the supreme spiritual master of this cosmic world, and you are the original proprietor of everyone. As eternal time, you are competent to chastise offenders. Within this material world, there are many fools like me who consider themselves to be the supreme Lord or the all-in-all within the universe. You are so merciful that without accepting their offenses, you devise means so that their false prestige is subdued and they can know that you and no one else are the supreme personality of Godhead." So it's Krishna. So you see how Prabhupada in this purport here. And so then you see is that it sums up all that the other acharyas have said before that in a very nice way, and actually, you know, makes it very accessible to us, where the, how you say, the proportion of thickness of the skull and volume of gray matter within side are not in a ideal proportion. Yes.
Like layers of the universe.
Yes. Yeah, you know, inside there's a P. I think once we calculated, if the covering of the universe was from here to Krishnagar, the universe inside the 4 billion miles would be the size of a P. That's actually what we're working with here. So we think that, you know, we're talking about the 4 billion is big. No, that's just the pea, the inside the, you know, the pea part, the green pea. And then you have, you know, from here to there is actually the coverings. Yes. I guess that's why they say someone's a pea brain, because that's all the bigger it is, the size of a pea. So, yeah. Yes. So, very fitting. King Indra continued, "Engrossed in pride over my ruling power, ignorant of your majesty, I offended you. O Lord, may you forgive me. My intelligence was bewildered, but let my consciousness never again be so impure." Right? So he's not just asking that he's forgiven for this, but he's asking that this may never happen again. So one, that's one way that you know that he once committed to try to make it work. Manu then mentions when you are committed to not doing it again, then that means then that the purification is there. But the point is we're not in control of it. It's Krishna who's in control. Krishna's the one to control that it won't happen again. But we have to be committed to the process. You know, it's like this morning, discussing about Krishna gives us his mercy, but we have to hold on to that mercy. It's not that it's just going to happen and we're going to do whatever we like. We have to actually be trying for it, and then Krishna will reciprocate. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Srila Jiva Goswami, oh no, we already said that. Indra prays, "O Lord of all devatas like me, or one who is capable of forgiving, Prabhu." Right, so capable of that's a good one. So he's saying that Prabhu or Prabho then has two meanings. One, Lord of all devatas means he's the master of everyone, but it also is who's capable of forgiving. Like that. You catch the inference? Like that. So one has to be careful how one uses Prabhu. It's not a universal statement. Because of what I stated, the benefactor of the universe is fit to forgive me even if I have committed offense. Because by not knowing your glories, since I was devoid of discrimination, muda cheta saha, since I was proud of my own powers, mamaishvarya mad plutasya. Or even though I knew your powers, I committed offense. Thus the offense is greater. But you should forgive me because I forgot about your powers. You should not consider offenses committed out of ignorance. Since you have descended to benefit the universe and are the crest jewel of mercy and generosity, it is insignificant for you to forgive my offense, which was committed only once. You should forgive me since I will never again offend you or your devotees. I have the mentality of being an offender to you and your devotees, and I was without knowledge. Since I am not capable, how can such offense not occur again? But you can forgive, O person who is capable of doing this, Isha, even though I am an offender. This is Indra saying, now the Acharya is pointing out, this is the prayer of a person who is not too pure in heart. He realizes his incapability as expressed in the previous verse. Being afraid of you only when I am fearful, he'll again forget when Krishna takes the Parijata tree. So he's saying he won't do it again, but then when he comes and takes the Parijata, which will be, you know, a few years later, then, you know, especially for the demigods, it'll be a few days later, because for one of our years is a day for them. So after some days, then he'll forget again when Krishna comes and takes the Parijata. So the point is, someone's in ignorance, then if they're that aspect of being willing to give that up and move forward to correct themselves, then that's the point where forgiveness is there. If that is not appreciated, then correction goes on until that point is appreciated. And the point of correction is so that they do become corrected. Right? It's not that it's something out of anger, right? Because then that means it's intolerance. So how is that? How are we going to establish religion by irreligious means? Right? But Krishna, he's not intolerant. He has nothing to gain by this. But except for that, someone will behave properly, so that will be an auspicious position for them. So chastisement is simply to bring them to the proper standard. Yes?
It seems that in this pastime, you know, from the beginning, when Krishna introduced Govardhan Puja, that he's quite passive in his relationship with Indra. Because then Indra, he describes, you know, many, many things, but still the main feature is himself, even in these prayers.
Yes, yes.
You can feel it's a strong, you know, it's a strong feeling.
Yes.
So then Krishna is just passive. He just listens and then whatever, and then he's not into this kind of reciprocation.
No, he's reciprocating, what's appropriate, but he's dealing with them as Paramatma.
Yeah.
So he's reciprocating as Paramatma. Paramatma is the judge, the witness, the controller, all these things that he mentions, he has the qualities. And so, therefore, it's there. So he's pointing out he is time, and by time you're punished, and so then he's praying that that part may be, you know, overlooked, because he's already been. Because it's not like everybody in the universe doesn't know what happened, and that Indra, you know, did this and it didn't work out. So all the demigods will know, because after he put Govardhan down, right, then the demigod showered flowers. And that. So they know what was happening. So it said they came forward and glorified, even though they knew that, you know, Indra had been chastised in this. And so since they're under his control, then on one level, then they shouldn't have been glorifying Krishna. But since it was wrong what he was doing, and glorification of Krishna is actually the purpose, then therefore they were then glorifying Krishna. So he has been punished, because everybody does know he's done something wrong. Like, and he's talking about what Brahma did, right? Which was, what was that? 2 years before. Amen. So that means for them 2 days earlier. So for the demigods, that happened 2 days earlier.
Well, it's like us and the ants, right? You know.
So if Indra already know Brahma's story, how can he try again?
And you've heard so much in Krishna consciousness and you never make any mistake. You heard about surrender to Krishna, you've done that, fully absorbed. The holy name is your life and soul, you wear it around your neck. You know, that's all you're doing, all you're committed to. You know, your life, your soul, your family, your position, your money, everything is just for Krishna, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is recommending. Right?
No.
Why not? You've heard all this. And he heard once, 2 days earlier. You've been hearing for longer than 2 days. Right? Because of ignorance. That's the thing. It's because of our attachment to the material energy and the idea that I can be happy here. And you can make a permanent solution. Therefore, then we keep going on. And so slowly, as different situations come up, we start to understand that it's not actually perfect. It's not going to work. Right? And then when we become convinced, then we surrender that bit more. Right? And then we become fully convinced that it's not about this. So in other words, we're not chanting the holy name because it'll free us from sin, or that it's the proper thing for a human being to do, or that we won't suffer, because by not being involved in the Krishna consciousness, then we're simply absorbed in the, you know, fire of material existence. Or it comes to the point where just the holy name is nice. We like chanting the holy name. That's why we do it. That's what ruchi is. You chant because you like to. Right? Nishtha is because you're supposed to and you're committed to it and you become steady. And before that, one's unsteady because one chants when things aren't going as well, and then when things are going well materially, then one doesn't see so much the need. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the point is that ruchi means that you want to chant. It's the nicest thing there is. Nothing else compares. Is that, yeah? So it just takes time. That's why it's called sadhana. So Indra is what? Right? They're devotees.
Yeah.
What kind of devotees? Neophyte devotees. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita says that a devotee, a neophyte devotee who's unsuccessful in going back to Godhead, then he generally takes birth in the heavenly planets, and then according to the particular distraction he had that was keeping him from fully surrendering to Krishna, that's the kind of facility he'll get in the heavenly planets. Does that make sense? So like for someone like Indra, they want to be in control. They want to, that someone else wants to enjoy. Someone, you know, they all have different ideas of why, I mean, it's not rocket science, but, you know, it's all slightly varied. And so like that, then they go to the heavenly planets, and then after spending some time there, then when that desires are engaged and all that, then they come back here and take birth in, you know, aristocratic families, religious families, like this. And so then they have more of an opportunity to take up devotional service. But why those families instead of devotee families? Because the attachment was to something that wasn't devotional. Does that make sense? So therefore you're given opportunity, that kind of facility will be there. And then within that, then one could take up devotional service. So in this canto, it's pointed out that anybody who has great, nice material facility and all, that's because of their previous practice. They've done something in devotional service. Now whether it's been done in Shraddha or whether it's been done as Agyata Sukriti, but anybody has anything, it's all because of the devotional practice. So all the rich people, powerful people, this, that, and then we're thinking, oh no, they're the special ones. No, they're the devotees that didn't quite make it. And if we think that they're special, then we have to be careful. Otherwise, we'll increase the population of such group. You know, does that make sense? So that's why you can speak to them directly about devotional service, because it's something they've done before. Right? Is that so in sense? Yes.
It seems that we need a certain Sukriti to come to Krishna consciousness. But then to stay in Krishna consciousness, we need a different set of things. So how is that happened?
It's the same thing. It's just that now you know what is the Sukriti. Well, before you didn't. Previously to Shraddha, then the Sukriti that we gained was by the grace of the devotees. That's why the devotees go out, they make contact, they do things that people are exposed to Krishna consciousness. Because you see, let's say, for example, Maraduisa Prabhu. Then he's, you know, a young man who's got his backpack, is traveling around, you know, living the dream, you know, something to do either, you know, between high school and college or partway through college or just after college, you know, you just go out and travel like for a year, right? You know, standard thing, a lot of people do it. Go around, see, do, you know, don't, you know, make no plans, just go with the flow. So he's walking along, he happened to just be with his backpack walking through Golden Gate Park. And over on the side of Golden Gate Park, you know, on the road, then there's this big, you know, hoopla going on. So he goes over to see what's happening, right? Because that's when you travel, you go to where's it happening? And there's this big scene going on. Rathayatra's going on, the kirtans, all the colors, all of this, all of that. So he goes down there, takes his backpack, throws it onto Subhadra's cart, and just walks along with the procession. They get at the end, they have the program. He stays for the whole program, you know, taking prasad, this and that. Then all the people leave and the devotees are packing up. He just hangs out with them, helps them pack up, goes with them back to the temple. He never left again. So it only required one Rathayatra to push it from Agyata Sukriti to Shraddha. So that means how many times before was that already going on? Now others, they see, you know, San Francisco Rathayatra every year for the last 50 years, and they're still not surrendering. So, you know, it means that it takes a little bit more Sukriti. So it's just a matter of the volume of that Sukriti. And so now it's called Agyata Sukriti because they don't know it's devotional service. Madhudvisa didn't know this is devotional service as, you know, recommended by Rupa Goswami following in pursuit of the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, who then, you know, practice this festival of Rathayatra, and that, you know, he doesn't know any of that. He just knows that, wow, this is far out, this is nice. And so he takes part, and by taking part for, you know, however much of the Rathayatra he was in, the program after taking prasad, helping the devotees pack it up and go back to the temple, then that was it. The next thing was, you know, Mangal Arati, and I'm sure within, by the rules in those days, then, you know, head shaving and all that's, you know, on the books very soon. You know, so for the devotee, then now he knows what he's doing, and now that commitment to him is then what keeps him there. So then he avoids the offenses, he does all these different things, and then that's what. So it's just a deeper understanding of what already was going on. Well, before they weren't committed to it, by the grace of the devotees they were exposed to it, and now by the grace of the devotees we're exposed to it and we're committed to it. So it's just further detail. You know, it's just like little children. The parents take them to the programs and they take prasad and they do all this. So they're getting all this kind of background. But at some point, then they'll have that commitment. And then they'll have that. Then they'll get initiated by the spiritual master and move forward based on their own commitment rather than just the parents'. Than their parents', you know, devotional well-wishing of their child. Does that make sense? So at one point they become purified where they themselves understand what's happening and then commit themselves to it. Does that work?
So that means that on each level we are at, we have to make a conscious endeavor to move to the next level, because then
yes, up. Basically, you can say up to asakti. After that, it's not, it's, no, you could say it's all the way through. It's not that it's our endeavor. It's the mood of that to that we want to please Krishna. So, in other words, one has faith. One's committed to that. Then one can't lose faith. When it deepens that, then one has faith in where that's come from, the devotees. We have faith in Krishna, but where did that come from? The devotees. Where did our agyata sukriti come from? The devotees. Right? Then, appreciating the faith and the devotees, then we take up bhajana kriya. Right? But if the faith's not strong, we don't appreciate devotees, then we don't take up bhajana kriya. So you get some people get stuck kind of in that limbo. You know, Bhakta Jose, he's been in every temple that there is. Everybody knows him. Remember seeing one GBC meeting and they're sitting there and somebody made a comment about Bhakta Jose. You know, and I think it was in New York. And then the temple president from out in the West Coast says, oh, he's over in your temple now. You know, is that they, oh, when was he last? Oh, that was 12 years ago. He was with us. Says, oh, now he's over there. You know, still not you know, ready to surrender, not ready. But he's been there for 12 years. You know. So, you know, it just takes a little bit more. So the idea is we make that commitment. Then with that, we're willing to give up our anartas. That's why it's so dangerous, this modern philosophy of that identifying with your anartas, and it's your right to keep them. In fact, we'll change the whole philosophy and culture and, in fact, the spiritual world and what Krishna does, wears, and eats just to match my conditioning, you know, which is a little strange, you know, since Krishna looks so much better in his natural thing than the people, you know, they don't look so good. Yeah. So then we're willing to give up those anartas, re-identify ourselves as Krishna's servant with that greater commitment. Then nishtha is that we're fixed in devotional service, so that faith is matured, that I want to be fixed, this is what I want to do. So it's each time you're increasing faith, right? So if I'm in nishtha and faith is there, and I continue with that faith, it'll deepen, then it'll become ruchi. Then when the faith deepens again, it'll become a sakti. That's why it's so dangerous, all these things of, well, you know, did Prabhupada know, and well, what does he mean here, but that won't work, and we have to change this. That means the faith's not deepening, so how one will get any further? How one will get past anartha nivriti? Right? One's in bhajana kriya, but it's anishta bhajana kriya. Nishta means, you know, the anarthas have been cleared. Or we're willing up to a particular level to clear, but not beyond that. So the whole point is it's all about faith. Faith deepens, sadhu sangha. Faith deepens again, bhajana kriya. Faith deepens again, anartha nivriti. Faith deepens again, nishta. Faith deepens, ruchi, ashakti. And then, you know, it gets to the point where then one comes to the liberated platform, then bhava. Then as you were pointing out, then you're conscious that it's not so much as knowledge as you're trying to be, you're just interested in being absorbed in Krishna because of the attraction you have for him. So that's going to be enhanced in the same way as what we were doing here as sadhakas, through, we have that faith and attachment to Krishna, therefore, through sadhu sangha, we're going to develop that. We'll see that in, you know, coming up in a few chapters. Is that it's that faith that this is the only thing that's important. Nothing else is important. So because of that faith, that surrender, then they take up the association of the eternal associates of Krishna. Right? Because you have those who've come up from the material world and take part in the pastimes in Braj, and you have those who've come down with Krishna from the spiritual world. From Goloka, right? And so then in Gokul, they all meet and then they all perform the pastimes. So, if one is actually serious, one will get the association of these nitya siddhis. And if not, one won't. Just like, you know, they're in the general area of Braj Mandal, and the yogic Brahmins didn't have a clue. Like that. So, it's, you know, it's just, there's no interest, so therefore there's no association with the eternal associates. You know, or like Kotila, Jatila, you know, they don't seem to be overly interested in developing pure, unalloyed love for Krishna. Not in the external sense, but, you know. So, therefore, they don't take up the association, the eternal associates. By Krishna's grace, they have Radharanis, but it's not that they're favorable in their, you know, service. Does that make sense? So, then as that's there, then one starts to then move through and develop that attachment. So that means one's giving up the other thing. So you see that anartha dhrita aspect is there. Then one becomes stable and steady. One can take part. Then it moves into the positive, right? In apandas. And then as that moves forward, then it turns into prema. So it's the same thing happening. Is that, like you were saying, that commitment is there, but it's in sadhana. It's more based on knowledge. There's attraction, of course, and taste, but knowledge is a prominent part. But in bhav sadhana, it's not, knowledge isn't the prominent part. It's that attraction to Krishna. But you have to actually want to cultivate that. Is that? And so, if we made the practice to cultivate it here, it's natural we'll continue to cultivate it there. But if we're here and not so much worried about it, then when we get there, we'll not be so worried about it either. Because it's us who goes there. It's not who we'd like to be. It's who we are.
But if it's us, we will never go there.
If you remember Krishna at the time of death, you'll go there. But it's going to be you who's there. So we don't have the conditioned nature in that, but we still have the habit of being involved in the material world. So we could not take it so seriously. So that's why I was saying is that Sarup City is overrated. Vastu City, now that's something. You know, but nowadays it's all talked about, it's all Sarup City, but it's not, it's Vastu City is the real thing. That's why it's Vastu, it's real. Vastu is the really real thing. Right? Yeah, so Sarup City is real, but Vastu City is the really real thing. So, yeah? So, means, of course, leaving the body, going to the, you'll get purified, but it's still, you don't have, you know, let's say, you're not attached to, chocolate halva, like that. But the principle that you're distracted from direct activities of devotional service, that can remain.
Oh, you're distracted by chocolate.
So, whatever it is, that is the distraction.
I just don't understand how you, if you are distracted, to a mild degree, it means you can go back to God.
If you remember Krishna,
yeah,
you'll go. And then whatever state you're in advancement, you'll continue from there.
So all the baggage we have, we carry it on with us?
We carry the habit of it. We don't carry the baggage itself. It means all that stuff is not there, but that proclivity towards sin and piety still may remain. That's why we see, as in the pastime with the gopis, that all that was built up by that full absorption in Krishna. And then once totally absorbed in Krishna, exclusively, then that's all removed. That's why it said the wives of the Brahmins, they did not have a material body anymore, because they came to that position. And then when they went back, the ones that couldn't go, then by hearing about and associating with them, they came to the same position. So what we may go through here very slowly, there we'll go through quite quickly. Right. You know, he's already on the Rasa dance at 7 years old, so like that. So it can move very fast, but the point is we still have to, it's still, we have to make the commitment, otherwise we'll think is okay, I commit now and then it'll just be by magic. It means it is Krishna's mercy, but still it has to be something that we desire. Why would Krishna want to give us prema if we are not actually interested in it? So when that's what we want, then that's what we get.
So, Maharaj, I heard that
You've heard a lot. I mean, it is one of the nine processes. It's true.
That if one serves Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission,
I see.
Then when he died, that Chaitanya will come personally, take him to spiritual world. Yeah. Even though he might not be 100% perfect.
No, but the point is, if he's sincere, then Lord Chaitanya will come and chant. Why not? But that I know of, that's if you're here.
If Chaitanya chant.
That I know of, that would be here. Someone who's preaching very nicely and doing all that everywhere in the world, then I'm sure it'll be the same thing. But those who are here in Mayapur, then that's more of a position.
So,
you know what I'm saying? We're trying very nicely to be absorbed in Krishna's service. And even if we're not perfect, then Lord Chaitanya is going to overlook the faults. But, if we're there and we've just cooked our favorite noodles and without bothering to offer them, we just sit down and eat them and then we choke on them, then, Lord Chaitanya might not come at that moment. You're going to be more dependent upon one of your, the other 19 relatives in the same apartment to do the Heimler, move.
Yeah, of course we also endeavor.
Yes, so that's the point. It's not that, yes, of course we do. That's the point. Otherwise it's all, Lord Chaitanya will do everything and, and I don't even have to remember that I'm supposed to endeavor. Yes, but for who? Ourselves, so therefore. You understand? So we look at what we're supposed to do. We have faith that Krishna will do what he's supposed to do, but we focus on what we're supposed to do. So we know if we're sincere, Krishna will take care. But we have to focus on what we should do, not that, he'll take care and so you don't bother. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a little kid, right? Then they don't know how to walk around very good, so an adult's always there with them, right? So when they walk, they go through the door, they go down the stairs, someone's already there. So then one day I saw this kid, then he, kind of goes off himself, on his own, to go through a door. Right? And he trips. And when he falls over and hits the ground, he looks back at the adult and goes, why did that happen? He means, why did you allow that to happen? You're supposed to see that that doesn't happen. Because he doesn't know. All he knows is that he moves around freely because you're always there, that you weren't there, so he fell over. You understand? So he has that faith. So then you take care. You understand? So we're surrendered to Krishna, absorbing ourselves like that, and Krishna's reciprocating. Not that, yes, Krishna will take care of everything and I'll just do whatever I'm doing. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we always have to try to apply it.
On the other hand, we should not worry too much that we might lost or we might lost the opportunity. Yeah?
But if you're thinking of those things, are you thinking of Krishna? It's not a trick question.
No, I just noticed that.
No. Here, let's stick to the question. If you're thinking of all the ways you could lose out and this and becoming insecure and all that, are you thinking of Krishna?
No.
So then how is that doing what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be remembering Krishna, not forget Krishna, and you're trying to do that. Well, if you're worried all of that, who are you worried about? Just yourself. You're not worried about Krishna. So where's the relationship? If you're worried about that and always offering prayers to Krishna about that, then you're absorbed in Krishna. Then what's the problem?
Yeah.
But if you're just on your own and you're becoming depressed and I'm so useless, so then you don't chant your rounds and just see how useless I am and all that. So because you're so useless, you feel bad, then you have to go to the refrigerator and drag everything out that you can and binge on that. And then, you know, somebody has to come and save you, you know, so like that, you know.
We see that some devotees, they always feel too much anxiety and they always feel they're
yes, but as karmis, they were confident and progressive and right out there and nothing bothered them, or they were exactly the same?
Depend on individuals.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So those individuals that are always self-conscious, unconfident and this and that, were they like that before they took up Krishna consciousness?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so therefore, it's just continue practicing devotional service. Then the heart will become purified, and these things will go away. Right? So it's not that by devotional service then you develop bad qualities. No, these qualities were always there. Just now, maybe you notice them. Because you're insecure and everybody you knew is insecure, therefore, you know, everything worked. You know, it's like, you know, living with a bunch of meerkats or something. You know, so, you know, they're always worried, right? And so you think it's normal. Then you move out from the meerkats and find out that others aren't so worried. Right?
Yes.
King Indra continued, "You descend into this world, O Transcendental Lord, to destroy the warlords who burden the earth and create many terrible disturbances. O Lord, you simultaneously act for the welfare of those who faithfully serve your lotus feet." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "I am foolish. You have appeared in this world for our benefit, because of our prayers. Even knowing this, I have been blind. Now, having been punished, I have attained better vision and can understand the truth. In order to destroy those leaders of the demons who create a burden for the earth, and in order to produce auspiciousness for those who serve your feet, you appear. But I am neither of these. Thus you neither destroy me nor bestow on me auspiciousness. You are neutral towards me. This is my misfortune." Right? Because he is being neutral. Right? Because he just messed with Braj Basis, you know. So.
Right. Yeah. Can we say that Indra offers prayers to Krishna personally, but he deals with him as Paramatma?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how all the devatas see. Like all the Yadus and all that, they all see him as Paramatma. Like that. But you know, when they're dealing, when they're not in that mood, then they're dealing with him as yeah. But it's not that Paramatma is not a person; it's just localized to that particular function.
No, I saw the indifference. So that's the
but
main.
Yeah, that's there. That indifference that is there because it's also what's the gain from this? These kind of prayers, they're nice in that it shows proper knowledge and they can advance nicely in devotional service and all that. But it's not that it's particularly interesting for him. Because for him, it's that affection that's there and that interaction based on affection.
But still those prayers, they are in the 10th canto.
Yes. Yes, because these proper moods and everything are there. But the point is it not a nice thing that he's there directly associating with Krishna, seeing Krishna, and he was, you know, attracted when he saw Krishna? So is there not some benefit? Yeah, but it's just in comparison to what he relations he has with the Braj Basis, then it's much deeper. Because they're demigods, he still identifies as Indra. He's servant of Krishna, but he's Indra. While the Braj Basis, they don't they
take these positions only because of the benefit it would give for Krishna. Nanda Baba is king of Vrindavan because then he can run it in such a way that's nice for Krishna. Is it?
If we take Indra and the Brahmas, the yogic Brahmas,
right,
can we say they fall into the same category?
The yogic Brahmins would probably be a little less.
Less than Indra. Because they didn't have personal.
They didn't take that, they didn't make that effort. See, Indra made the effort to come there and this and that. And it's not that Indra and that aren't worried about Kamsa. He came there anyway. But the Brahmins were worried and then, you know, they could have, if they wanted, they could have made, you know, they could have, Yogamaya would have made some arrangement. But they're that fierce, so then they just left it at that and then dropped it.
Yeah. Why do we say that Paramatma is localized? What's the meaning?
Localized. He's sitting in your heart. That's not localized?
But he's also controlled, like as Narayana or like Mahavishnu, he also... outside of
it. Yeah, but then he's Paramatma of the Mahatattva. Mahavishnu is the Paramatma of the Mahatattva.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
So there's...
your phone. Not your phone. Someone else has.
So there's Paramatma in your heart.
Yeah, that's Kiradakshaya Vishnu. Yeah. Then that's the Paramatma of the universe, that's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And the Paramatma of the material manifestation, that's Mahavishnu, Karanadakshaya Vishnu.
I see.
So he's a person, he has his relationships and that, but we know him as just the person who takes care of things. So he's a person, but it's localized to that specific thing, because that's how we relate to him. Right, Krishna and Arjuna. Then they were dealing with Mahavishnu, but as on the Bhagavan platform. So he went. His palace is there, and he was greeted, and like this, and all his servants are there, and everything. But as Paramatma, he's just lying there in yoga nidra, and all the universes are coming out. Right, but as Bhagavan, he's doing so many things.
So he's Paramatma and Bhagavan simultaneously.
Krishna is always Bhagavan. Paramatma is just a feature. Just like Brahman is a feature. Bhagavan is the original. But the person also has these two features. A localized aspect, just like the man at work. Everybody at work only knows him as work. Do they know him at home? Do they know what he wants to do, what he likes to do, No. They just know he's the one that sits in that cubicle over there and does his work. So that's localized. It's a feature. Right? Okay?
Yeah. For the devotees, how Lord reciprocates as Brahma? Like for
as Brahman.
Mayavadis, they see his effulgence. They're like bewildered by that. For devotees, like Krishna behaves. As a Brahman, ask what is the Brahman?
How is your. Why does this mean something?
Means,
so I'm just saying. You're saying, Brahman, the devotees.
Since the Brahmavadis, they.
No, that was the question. That was the question answering your question.
I didn't do your question.
Okay, and then to hear, you're leaning forward. And to show that you're attentive, then you're there and, like this. You understand? And then you think, oh, that's wrong, so then you sit back. That's all Brahman aspects. You understand? That you do something. I put the rock here, the rock will hold this down. Why? Because of Krishna, the laws of nature. So the principles that works on, the mechanics of that, that's Brahman. The principle that, okay, I want to get from here to Calcutta, I can take a train. But train is impersonal. It's just generic. Then you have a specific train. Right? Then that's Paramatma. But that the trains work on specific principles. You know, they have the electricity, they have the motors, they have the wheels, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That's all Brahman. You understand? So it's all going on at once. The environment that you're in, that's all controlled by Brahman and Paramatma. What you do with it to please Krishna, the person, then that's what we call bhakti. He has these other two features, so you can have devotion towards those two features. But generally that's not your strongest position in devotional service. Right? Because it's not dynamic, it's only appreciation. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Yeah. So everything you're doing, that your shirt is made out of fabric and the fabric stays together and that a tailor can sew it and that will sew it stay together. These are all laws that are there. Because if it wasn't, then, you know, everybody would be sitting around with a pile of threads. You know? So, you know. It would be figuratively speaking about your threads. It would be literal. Is that?
Yeah. So, Maharaj, can we say that Brahma is Li and...
Brahma or Brahman.
Brahman.
Yes.
Is Li and yes. Paramatma is Tao.
Means Brahman is Li and his potencies is Chi.
Yeah. So, Paramatma is Tao. Which is the source of life.
Yeah, the source, but then Krishna is the ultimate Tao. He's the supreme personality of Taohood. Does that make sense? But yes, that's the whole point. Is that, you know, just in general speaking, then Vishnu is that position. Yes, that's what we're talking about. So it's not that it's a problem explaining it. You just have to be able to explain it according to these techniques.
Yeah,
so it's not a problem. So how do you say supreme?
Zizun.
And then how do you say that with Tao?
Dao.
Yeah, but I'm saying together as well.
Zizun Dao.
Yeah, so that's Krishna.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they're still fighting over what word to use.
Actually, we call there's a name called Tai Yi, means the Supreme One. The Supreme One.
Yeah.
Tai Yi is called.
Yeah. So it's just that it's not a problem.
Like in Rig Veda called Tat Ekam.
Yeah.
Like Tai Yi.
Yeah. So it's not
supreme
a problem.
One.
So there shouldn't, the fight over that there's only one word you can use to explain God, that should stop.
Yeah.
Seeing that in the Vedas, they use so many words. You know, Indra already so far has used so many. And then we have to fight over one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
King Indra continued. Did we just say to that? Yes. Obeisance is unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great soul, who are all pervading. Oh, here's another one. Great soul. So then you can also throw in great. Who are all pervading and who reside in the hearts of all. My obeisance is unto you, Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. So he's dealing with all these different aspects, his features, and then ending with him as the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, therefore let me just surrender to your lotus feet and offer you respects. This is expressed in two verses. Elsewhere, Uddhava says, Krishna, the original Lord, let's see here, we've already got it, you know, the great soul, the original Lord. So there's plenty of things, right?
The Lord of matter and spirit appears in this world in different avatars as portions of Mahavishnu, who is also his part. So the avatars are coming as portions of Mahavishnu, right, who expands as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, expands as Kiradakshaya Vishnu. So all the avatars are coming from Kiradakshaya Vishnu. So that means ultimately they're coming from Mahavishnu. The Mahavishnu is just is a part of Krishna. So that's the thing, it just keeps going back. Therefore, Indra in this verse pays respects to all the Amsa forms which are within Krishna when he appears on earth, because then all of the avatars come. So then Krishna is there and all these avatars, right? Because he's the avatari, the source of all avatars. I pay my respects to the Lord of Mahavaikuntha, Narayana, Bhagavate, right? Because Lord of Mahavaikuntha, you have Vaikuntha, then you have Mahavaikuntha. And but Krishna is the Lord of Mahavaikuntha. He's the origin of him. Because that Mahanarayan, he's the origin, because then he's coming from Baladev, and Baladev's coming from Krishna. So Krishna is the ultimate form of the Supreme. I pay my respects to Mahavishnu, Purushaya, creator of Mahatattva. I pay my respects to the soul of the Samasti, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Mahatmane. After paying respects to the Amshas, he pays respects to the Amshi, the source of the Amshas. I offer my respect to Vasudeva, son of Vasudeva, with a mention of his father. I offer respects to Krishna, lord of the Satvatas, with mention to the name of his followers. Right, so then all these other names that are nice, but then these ones now he's mentioning in relationship to his devotees, so these are going to be the more appreciated by Krishna. King Indra continued, under him who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desires of his devotees, under him whose form is itself pure consciousness, under him who is everything, who is the seed of everything, and who is the soul of all creatures, I offer my obeisances. So he takes a form according to the desires of the devotees. What kind of affection they have for him, that's the form he takes. You know, just like we have affection, everyone has affection for Krishna. It's not that they're somewhere else. But because they're not looking at that affection for Krishna in relationship to Krishna's happiness, but into their own, therefore they have all material desires. So Krishna comes to them as those material desires. Right? We want a house, he comes as a house. We want a car, he comes as a car. But these are the forms that he takes, because they're all worshiping Krishna. It's not that they're dealing with something else other than Krishna. Well, getting bigger now. They were much smaller before. The ant. My dear Lord, when my sacrifice was disrupted, I became fiercely angry because of false pride. Thus I tried to destroy your cowherd community with severe rain and wind. Right, before he's just talking about forgiving this, that, and all that, and his glories. And now he's getting down to actually what he did. You know, you first have to kind of... Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Indra imagined that Lord Krishna might say, O Indra, you are my devotee, that I can understand from your recitation of praise. But without your permission, your wicked clouds attacked my vraja. Therefore, you should punish them. Fearing such an innocent scolding from Krishna, Indra considered, alas, I cannot be duplicitous with the Supersoul who knows everything. Therefore, he decided to admit that everything was his fault in this verse. Right? Because otherwise Krishna could say, yes, your clouds just came here on their own, they did all this, but you as their master, you should chastise them. Because Krishna could stay like this, you know, because then you feel real stupid, because you're the one who did it. Right? So, therefore, he said before that. Right? Therefore, he decided to admit that everything was his fault in this verse. Krishna says, but how is it possible for my devotee to do this? Right, so that was the last verse, now getting into the next one. Indra replies, when my worship was stopped, I became angry. Krishna responds, Though I, your master, stopped your worship, I cannot believe that my servant would do such a thing. Indra replies, what is not possible out of pride? Mani na. Krishna responds, through pride, though pride may somehow arise in my devotee, he will remove that with intelligence. Indra replies, but intense anger, tivra manyuna, destroys even intelligence. Right? So that, because the anger is after frustration of desire. So that just that desire itself, then comes the anger. Then after that, then Krishna's giving that sequence of events. Then one falls down into material consciousness. So he's pointing out that, but yes, but the intent, especially intense anger, then destroys even intelligence. Right? So that's... Joy. Okay. Indra concluded, O Lord, you have shown mercy to me by shattering my false pride and defeating my attempt to punish Vrindavan. To you, the Supreme Lord, spiritual master and supreme soul, I have now come for shelter. Footnote 33. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 13 to Bhagavad Arkamrita-mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Yes, so this thing where he's surrendering to Krishna, Krishna showing him his mercy, he's being kind to him, and that, then this is just the unlimited dimensions of the relationship with the Lord. So there may be so many aspects that are there, so he's turning to him in this capacity, Krishna's reciprocating in this capacity. Right? So there's just so many dimensions of the affection between the Lord and the devotees. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, O Supreme Controller, Isha, because you are the regulator, because you are the regulator of all beings, though you could have very well punished me, you have been merciful to me. This is not superficial mercy. That mercy has destroyed my pride, since now I have lost all eagerness to disturb you. My pride has completely disappeared, since you have destroyed it, and the desire for such acts has also disappeared. Thus, this great offender surrenders to you, since you are the Guru. Two other reasons for surrender are mentioned. You are the controller, Ishwaram, and you are the root of all beings, Atmanam, like the sun in relation to its rays. Thus, for three reasons, I surrender. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Indra said, in the material world, there is a regular competition between different types of living entities to become supreme leaders of society. And after, the fun part is some of them actually call themselves that. Supreme leaders of society, and after being frustrated in achieving the supreme positions of leadership, foolish persons claim to be God, the Supreme Personality. Right? When they're frustrated in trying to enjoy or control the material energy, that they can't do it, then they decide, well, then I'm God. You know, so that's, you know, that's like insane. Huh? Yeah, it's just like, you can't even get yourself out of the parking spot. You're so bad at parking. But you decide, oh, this is it. I'm going for Formula One. You know, it's like, you know, it doesn't make any sense, right? There are many such foolish personalities in the world, like me, but in due course of time, when they come to their senses, they surrender unto you and again engage themselves properly by rendering service unto you. And that is the purpose of your chastising persons envious of you. So Krishna's whole purpose of chastising is so that they render service to Krishna, not something else. It's not about the punishment. It's only that they will come to their senses to worship Krishna. Right, so that's the purpose of chastisement, if we're following in Krishna's footsteps. Like that. Yes?
We see at this point that Indra surrenders to Krishna, but then it's very intellectual surrender. And then when later he goes back to his kingdom, he does his duty, he completely forgets about that moment till the next moment comes. Mm. So it's very...
Yeah, so as those moments build up, then he advances. But that's how you do it. By being engaged in service and all that, then you advance. So that's the whole point, is that if you're not Krishna conscious, then Prabhupada's given us the opportunity that at least we'll be engaged in activities in the mode of goodness. Because that's enlightening, and you can move forward with that. And since our basic principle is that of devotional service, that whenever there's an opportunity that devotional service could be remembered, it will be. Right? But if we situate ourselves in passion or ignorance, because we're like, you know, saying like we're pigs, so we, you know, sit in the pen in the mud, you know, and so then where's the opportunity for remembering Krishna? Where's the pure environment where we might be distracted from that conditioning? So that's the point, is dealing with the conditioning of goodness, then one could see that, because of knowledge, that things are temporary in the material world, they're not meant for enjoyment, we're not in control, just by nature. But if we're in passionate ignorance, we can't see that. So that's why then one situates oneself very properly. So he's doing his duties, he's doing that. He may forget, but then he'll be reminded. Right? Does that make sense? But the demons, they're always in a position of forgetfulness, and so there's no real way to correct that except for, you know, removing them from their present situation. Is that, you know. So we ourselves, you know, we go, like we said, it's just a couple of days. So with us, we'll be Krishna conscious, then things may go nicely, then something happens, we forget, then we remember again, then like this, and so gradually it builds up. And we slowly start to make more and more advancement.
It builds up by volume, but not intensity necessarily.
But at least when it's volume, it becomes the completeness, then you can work on intensity.
Oh.
Right? Because, you know, that's the whole point. That's the difference between dhyan and samadhi. Dhyan means you're fully meditating, but samadhi means then it deepens. Right? You know, in other words, or like prema, it's a platform. When that deepens, then you get sneha. When that deepens, then you get pranaya, like that. Does that make sense? So that's what we're saying. The faith gets more and more deep. So you get to the point where there's completeness. Like nishta means it's like full. Then it's a matter of the deepening it. Then it comes to ruchi, then a shakti, then like this. Yeah. So it's natural that it'll go on. So that's occasional. That's what is meaning in always remember Krishna, never forget. So it's a matter of that. So remembrance has all those levels. I don't remember. You have samadhi, you have dhyan, smriti, anusmriti, and then something below that, which means kind of occasionally. You know, there's occasionally thinking of, then there's kind of regularly thinking of, and then it's, you know, much of the time thinking of, then there's actual meditation, then that deepening, then it's samadhi. So samadhi means it's exclusive. Does that make sense? It's just the depth of it, just as it's... Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's the whole point. He chastised, so again they're properly rendering service unto you. So they should be engaged in service, make a mistake, correct that, then they continue with the service. Because for Krishna it's all about the service. It's not about the retribution. Verses 14 to 17, Sri Krishna instructs Indra. You know, it's just like, communing has happened, you know, notes have been taken, notes are being brought, people are being distracted into various kinds of, demigod worship, earth opens up, quite a few of them fall inside, and then when it closes again, then they decide, okay, well, what's been written, let's do that. And then, you know, so it's just, it becomes, they get back to their normal position. No?
Well, in case with Indra, the fault is not in his execution of his duties. His duties are completely separate from what he did,
yes,
you know, to the residents of Vrindavan.
Yes.
So to reestablish him in that position, it's easy because there's no fault. He does what he does.
But he's misused, he's misappropriated his powers and ability and authority there. Because he's in charge of the clouds, but he means the Samvartika are only for the destruction at when there's going to be a destruction. But he sent them in, it was just, you know, a regular day of the week. It wasn't the end of the universe or something or like that. So he's misapplying his position. But the point is he can do it properly. It means if he's never done it properly and then it really goes off the rails, then you know, okay, they should do a different service. Right? But if he's been doing it properly and then something goes wrong, then you correct it so they can go back to doing the proper service. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's. Yeah. Okay. So that ends here. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Jayatai Gaura.